Okay.
Okay, thank you for being here this Friday evening. So we'll start with the invocation prayers.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurache Nama Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते रक्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके अगेन थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर बीइंग हियर दिस फ्राइडे इवनिंग सो लास्ट वीक वी स्टार्टेड ऑन अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट जर्नी called the journey of self-discovery. So we'll just go over a little recap of what we discussed in the last session and then we'll continue from there. So anybody remember some of the main points we discussed in the last topic? Anybody?
What is the problem? What is the real problem?
So we discussed what are the real problems of the life. Yeah. So the real problem is not something somebody may have, okay, I have money problem, home problem, this, that, or car problem. Real problem is something which is common to everybody. Nobody wants it and nobody can escape from it. So the real problems of life, as Bhagavad Gita described, Janam Mrityu Jaravayadhi Dukkha Dosha Nudarshina. That are the real problems of the life. Birth, death, old age and disease. And then the threefold miseries which are always imposed upon us. Adhyatmik Kalesh, Adhibhautik Kalesh, Adhidevik Kalesh. The problems caused by our own body and mind. The problem caused by other living entities on us. And the problem caused by higher nature. And then how to overcome these problems, how to overcome the real problems of life, that we discussed was, so to understand or to know why these problems are imposed upon me, we have to go to the root cause, the cause of all causes. The world around us, the overall, the media, the social circle, everybody proposes to enjoy temporarily with our senses. The more you can enjoy, just try to enjoy whatever you can. So the social media is proposing enjoyment, which is just a temporary enjoyment. That does not give the solution to the real problems or does not solve the real problems, but just does a patch-up work. And then we discussed, the next one was, we discussed was, if we really want to understand, one should do inquiry, jigyasa. That is the purpose of human life, to inquire. And when we want to inquire, we have to understand from whom to inquire. Who is the ultimate authority to give us the knowledge? So the knowledge can be acquired based on sense perception, then based on logic and inference, anuman, praman, and then ultimate authority is shabda praman, hearing from a bona fide authority. And what is the real authority? Again, there is the criteria for something to be considered a bona fide authority, which has never been proven wrong, which has stood the test of time, which does not change with the finding of new facts. And who is that authority? That we discussed is the Vedic scriptures. So which has met all these criteria, which has been given to us thousands and thousands of years back in the writing form, but it existed forever. And it has never been proven wrong, it has never been changed. So that is the real authority. So based on the real authority, now we want to understand what is the cause of all causes. So that's where we come to this topic, which is, does God really exist? So generally when we talk about God, we raise our hand up, that God is somewhere up. So the question is there some God, really somebody up there? Does God really exist? Can we prove scientifically, logically, the existence of God? And how do we scientifically define God? So that's what we are going to discuss in today's session. So how many of you 100% have conviction about the existence of God? You can put your hand on your heart and say, yes, I 100% believe in existence of God. Maybe all of you are like that, that you have full conviction that yes, God does exist. But sometimes it happens, somebody really challenges us. When something goes wrong, somebody really challenges us. Does God really there? Do you really believe in God? If God is there, then why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did not God do anything? So, sometime our faith gets shaken. We start really thinking, oh, does God really exist? So there is actually, in Sanskrit, there is a word called asti. Asti means hai, exist. So the people who believe Bhagwan hai, God exists, so Bhagwan hai, asti, so they are called astik. And who say Bhagwan nahi hai, na asti, so they are called nastik. So that's from where this word come, astik and nastik. Who says Bhagwan hai, Bhagwan nahi hai, asti, na asti. So sometimes people challenges, or people put question challenging our faith about the existence of God. So to clear our own conviction and to be able to answer others' question, so we'll go systematically about the existence of God. Does God really exist or not? And to test our faith, I will tell one story. Once some villagers, they went to a sadhu. So they invited, there was a sadhu living at the boundary of a village, some sadhu arrived, and the villagers thought, let's go to that sadhu and bring him, invite to our village, ask him to give us some talk. So some of the leaders of the village, they went to the sadhu, please come to our village, give us some nice talk about some religious principles, some spirituality. So the sadhu said, okay, I will come. So the sadhu came, all the people, all the villagers were sitting, and as soon as sadhu came, he said, he asked one question, how many of you believe in God? Everybody raised hand, like you all. And the sadhu said, oh, you all are such pious, nice people. What is the need of me to speak? So he got up and went away. So the villagers are thinking, what went wrong? So maybe let's go again and let's invite him again. And this time if he asked the same question, nobody raised the hand. So they went and invited him again. He again came, sat down, asked the same question again. How many of you believe in the existence of God? This time nobody raised their hand. And Sadhu said, oh, nobody believes in the existence of God. What is the point of me speaking? He again got up and went away. So he said, we have to do something. Let's invite him again. This time, this half side raise hand, this half side don't raise hand. So the sadhu came, he sat down, again asked the same question. How many of you believe in the existence of God? So half of the people raised hand, half of them did not raise. He said, oh, so you who believe in the existence of God convince others who do not believe. And he again got up and went away. So that is our situation also. Sometimes we say, yes, I have full conviction in the existence of God. And then some shaky thing happened. We said, maybe, maybe not. I'm not so sure. So we are like a half-baked potato. So how we get full conviction about the existence of God? So different people have different conception about God. Some people say, God is some word which has been created to strike fear among people. So people will behave. They will abide by the moral principles. So there is nothing like God. It's just to create fear among people, to abide by morality. So otherwise there is no God. Some people say, just to create fear, like sometimes mother tells the child, when it's too late in the night and child is not sleeping, sometimes mother will say, beta abhi so ja, nahi to sher aa jayega. Just to strike fear, just say something. So that's how sometimes people think, oh God, there's nothing as God. It's just to create fear among people. So some people, or actually to say lot of people, just believe in God out of fear, so that nothing wrong happens to me. If there is some God, maybe if there is somebody up there, let him be a little satisfied. So that's why they have little belief in God, out of fear of God. Now, is there God something to be feared for, feared about? Like that, there was once two medical students in the college, and they never believed in existence of God during their college years. And as they graduated, passed out, one person, few years later, he got an invitation from other friend. He opened his own clinic. So this second person, he went for the opening ceremony. So as this whole ceremony is going on one corner, he saw there is one priest sitting and some puja is going on, something is going on. He called on to that person who is doing this clinic inauguration. So he said, what is that, all that? We thought we don't believe in the existence of God. We are the atheist people. So this person replied, see, I spent $1 million to open this hospital, open this clinic. If there is some God, let him also be satisfied. $100, $200 spent karke kya jata hai? Let him also be satisfied so that I don't get bothered. I don't get any trouble. So that is the situation. Sometimes people just believe in God out of fear. So that may I live peacefully, let God not bother me. So, another set of people, they say, if God does exist, I should be able to see Him. If God is there, why am I not able to see Him? So, God is not an entity which we can see with our naked eyes. There are a lot of things which we can't see with our eyes. We cannot even see the air. Can we see the air? Can you see your own brain? So does it mean you don't have any brain? Or there is no air? So, as there are some things which we cannot see with our material eyes, same way God, we cannot see God. There is a process for everything. To see anything, there is a certain process. Once two people were traveling in a train, and one person, he was doing some chanting, like we are chanting the holy name. So he was chanting on his beads. The other person sitting next to him, he started arguing. Oh, you are chanting this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Have you seen Krishna? So this person said, he kept quiet for some time. He said, why do I argue with this person? Looks like some atheist person. So after a few minutes, he said, you know what? We are traveling in this train, but there is no driver for the train. I guarantee there is no driver exists. This person said, how come? This train is traveling on this railway track and there is a driver who is controlling this train. So no, I don't believe. So this other person said, oh, if you want to see, can you show me the driver? So yeah, you can, if you want to see the driver, so next time when the train stops at the next station, you can get down, you can walk all the way to the front of the engine, you can climb into the engine compartment and you will see a driver there. You will be able to see the driver. So this person said, see, to see a simple material person, you have to work so hard. You have to get down from the train, walk all the way up in the front of the train into the engine, climb to the engine compartment, and then you will be able to see the driver. And don't you think to see God, you have to do something? You think God is your order supplier and you can just see God without doing anything? So God, some people deny existence of God because of the inability to see the God. Everything has a process. Even Lord Brahma, he explains, there is fire in the wood. But can we see the fire as it is in the wood? To get the fire out of wood, we have to light the wood. So the fire, the energy will come out. Same way, there is food, grains in the earth. But to get the grain out of earth, there is a process. You have to sow the seed, water the seed. And then the plant will grow and the vegetables will come out, the grains will come out. So, lakdi mein aag hai, par usko dekhne ke liye process hai. Bhoomi mein ann hai. But you have to do something. It's not that just you start digging the earth and you say, oh, there is no food, there is no grain in that. So, there is a process. Same way in the cow, milk is there. But you cannot just chop the cow and say, oh, there's, see, show me the milk. Where is the milk? So there is a process how to get the milk out of cow. You feed the grass to the cow, you bring the calf, and the cow will give the milk. So everything has a process. So same way, if we want to see God, there has to be a process to be able to see God. Arjuna asked a question to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And what was his wording? If you think I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic powers, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. So what are the words being used here? If I am able to behold, and then kindly show me. So there is a request. It's not that as an order that, oh, show me if you exist or not, then I believe in you. So there is a request and there has to be our own ability to see. And same way, when once Prabhupada was approached by one of his disciples. So that time in the earlier days, there was one disciple called Hayagri Prabhu. So he approached Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I have been chanting for 6 months. I am following all the regulative principle, but I am not able to see Krishna. So Prabhupada pointed him to this verse. Go read Chapter 11, text 4. If you think I am able to withhold your form, then kindly show me your form, universal form. So, Krishna is not our order supplier. God is not our order supplier. We have to become eligible to be able to see God. So, people deny existence of God because of our inability in our current form to see God. And then the next set of people, they deny existence of God because of this very reason. If God was there, there will be no suffering in this world. We see so much suffering all around us. There is so many riots going on, so much disease, so much of this, that, corruption and all that. If God was there, there will be no suffering in this world. So there is so much suffering, it means God does not exist. So we'll discuss this particular topic in more detail, maybe 2 sessions later. So like that, a lot of people pose different questions to deny the existence of God. Once there was one person traveling in India, one Westerner person. So he traveled all across India, he went to all different parts And when he was returning at the airport, he exclaimed, "After visiting all different parts of India, I have fully agreed that God does exist." He said, "What makes you so convinced that God exists?" He said, "I went all across India. I saw in all these government offices, nobody works, but still this country is going on. So there must be God taking care of this country." So everybody gets their own little different realizations to understand the existence of God. So if we say God does exist, can we prove scientifically existence of God? Like, we all claim to be very scientific people. So can we prove existence of God very systematically, scientifically? So let's go over some of the proof about existence of God. So first proof about existence of God: for every urge in the nature, there is fulfillment for that urge. So let's say we feel hunger. So there is food provided in the nature to quench that hunger. We feel thirsty. There is provision for water to fulfill that urge. Even people have the urge to admire others. Right? People admire. If somebody doesn't admire God, they will admire somebody or something. People put posters of cars on their walls. They admire some nice fancy cars. People put posters of Hollywood, Bollywood stars, sports stars, celebrities, politicians. So we have the urge to admire somebody. So for every urge, there is a fulfillment in the nature. Even somebody want to admire the higher nature, higher forces. Some people worship the mountains in the tribal area. Somebody may worship the rivers. So it's the different level of understanding. People keep going higher and higher to get to the ultimate understanding of God. So there is, for every urge, there is a fulfillment in nature. Now, any creation implies a creator. That is the next proof for existence of God. Now, when you see a nice painting, do you say, "Oh, this painting just come out of by itself from somewhere. Nobody has painted this." Will anybody believe that? So you look at a nice painting of Mona Lisa, and immediately the thought comes, who is the painter for this painting? Right? Right. So there is somebody who has painted that. And if a child comes and draw a very nice flower, what do you ask him? "Beta, who drew this? Did you draw this flower?" So, do you say, "Oh, this flower came out of itself. Nobody has drew this flower or created this." So, like that, for everything, there is, for any painting, there is an artist behind. For any design, there is a designer behind. For any creation, there is a creator behind it. So, same way, once there was a test given to kids, a group of kids. Test in the sense, the different question was asked. So, first, a painting of flower was shown to the kids and we told them, "You know what, how this painting came up in the night? So there was just a plain piece of paper and there was some wind blowing, and all of a sudden some flowers came from somewhere, or some colors came from somewhere, fell on the paper, and this nice flower painting came up. Do you believe in that?" Child said, "No, how can that be? Somebody has to draw this." And then we showed the plastic flower to the child. "You know how this plastic flower came into existence? There was a big wind blowing, some plastic pieces, some plastic came around, mixed together, and this nice plastic flower came up. So what is the difference in a painted flower versus a plastic flower? So painted flower, maybe there is just some color. Now plastic flower, there are colors, there is some texture is also there." And then showed them the real bunch of flowers. So, the painting flower cannot come by itself. The plastic flower cannot come by itself. And we claim that all this, everything in the nature came by itself. There is no creator behind it. So, this is a real flower. It has the color. it has the texture, it has the so much nice fragrance, and it has a nectar also. And we say, oh, this, all this came by chance, no, from nowhere. It all just came by itself. So, any creation implies a creator. Now, the scientist, the theory which proposes is a Big Bang theory. Oh, everything came from nowhere all of a sudden. There was a Big Bang and everything came into existence by itself. Some hot gases mixed together. And there was a Big Bang and all this cosmic manifestation came into existence. Now, how absurd, how stupid this theory sounds. And we believe in that theory that oh, all this came into existence without any creator. Like, if you tell a child, so mother cooks some nice sabji, nice chapati, and tell the child, ask the child, who cooked this? And child exclaim, nobody cooked it, some ingredients, all this dal and flour and water and spices, everything mixed together and this nice sabji came out by itself. And how the mother will feel? So, we propose this theory that everything came by itself and then for all small things, we take credit. See, I created this. See, I make this nice thing. And you write a nice program on the computer. You say, see, I wrote such a nice, wonderful program. See, I created this nice, wonderful car. Do you ever exclaim that all this nice car, the Ferrari and all, with hundreds of years of the water rubbing on the shores of the ocean, with all that some metals mixed together and after some time this nice Ferrari came from nowhere into existence. Or a wristwatch just came with the out of nowhere with the rubbing of the waves on the shores of the ocean. So we take credit, we claim credit for any small thing. And people file patents, Nobel Prize with all these small things. And then for all this whole creation, we say, oh, everything came from nowhere. Everybody came from by itself without any creator. So creation implies a creator. Then the next proof is laws employ a lawmaker. So we see so many wonderful laws in this whole nature. And if you see this sun coming at a particular time in the sky and then setting at a particular time, all these planets going in a systematically around the orbit, and nothing goes out of its place. If sun does not rise one day, it will be all a chaotic situation. If moon does not go into its proper orbit, it will be a chaotic situation. So everything going very systematically, all the seasons come with in a cycle, proper systematically. The moon, the day and the night, all the winter, summer, fall, all this season go in a very systematic way. So all these laws are there in the nature. So if the law is there, there has to be a lawmaker. For example, if all some trains are going on a railway track, somebody has put a law how one particular train passes, the other doesn't cross from that. So there is a proper planning, the proper system is there. Somebody has created all that law. Otherwise, all one train coming from this side, another train coming from this side, always there will be clashes, crashes. It still happens, accidents still happen when there is a fault in the plans. So, but everything, all these material things also, we see the plans are there, the laws are there, and somebody has put together that law. A child may say, oh, everything is working automatically. So wonderful, it came from nowhere. But an intelligent person knows that somebody has put together a proper system for everything to go smoothly. Same way, when you drove here, you may have seen many red lights, the traffic signals. So all that traffic signal, if somebody claims, oh, when I got up in the morning, I saw all this traffic system came up from nowhere. Will that sound very reasonable, logical? So somebody has created all that nice traffic law. If we don't follow that law, there is somebody is imposing those laws. If you don't follow, you will get a ticket. So somebody has put together the laws, put together the system, and somebody is making sure that system is being followed. Isn't it? So same way, in the nature, all these laws are there. How the planets are revolving around each other. How the sun is going in a particular orbit, moon is going in a particular orbit, earth is going systematically. If that laws were not there, it will be a chaos. To maintain the laws in a country, to maintain a country, it's a big challenge to maintain all those laws. Forget about country, to maintain the laws of a state is a challenge. Forget about state, maintain the law of a city is a big challenge. Let's like talk about our particular city, Troy. So somebody is there making sure the laws are being followed and the system is being put together properly. So somebody has governed the laws and somebody is making sure the laws are followed. So same way in the universe, we cannot deny that somebody has put together the laws and somebody is making sure these laws are going systematically. Now science says, all these planets are revolving around each other because the law of gravity. There is no other external force, nobody taking care of this. It is just happening automatically, law of gravity. And Newton discovered the law of gravity. So now, did Newton create the law of gravity? Or he just observed the phenomena already happening in nature? Right? So Newton went to Cambridge University in London. That's where he was. And he was sleeping under a tree. Apple fell down and he started observing. Why apple is falling down? When apple separates from the branch, why it comes down? Why it doesn't go up? So he started observing the phenomena, came up with law of gravity. There is some force which is pulling it down. But he did not create the law. He just observed the phenomena and put together his understanding to explain to the others. So same way, the law of thermodynamics, law of fluid mechanics, all these laws are existing, working in the nature. We have not made those laws. We just observe those laws and put in front of people to make them understand this is how this thing is happening. But somebody has made those laws, make those rules, and somebody is governing those laws, making sure the laws are going on systematically. So what is the proof of existence of God? The urge is there is a fulfillment in nature. Creation implies the creator. And the third one is the laws imply a lawmaker. So then somebody may say, okay, I understand up to here. Maybe there is God. But now can we scientifically explain what is God? Who is God? Can we define God systematically? So now how do we understand God? If some people understand God also, so up to that point people may understand that, okay, maybe God does exist. When but ask people, okay, then who is God? Then people do some golmaal gadbad here. Everybody comes up with different theories. Some people say, oh, God is just some light. God is just some energy. God is formless. There is no image of God. It's just some energy, some Brahman, some light. Is God saguna or is God nirguna? Is he as form or does he has form or does he not have form? So all these different concepts people have. No clear understanding. Some people say, oh, you are God, this person is God, that Baba is God, that Devi is God. So everybody is God. So now the question comes, who is God? How we define God? Is God, does God has a form or is he formless? So now how do we understand God? How do we acquire knowledge? Let's go back to that point here. How do we acquire knowledge? From the scriptures. And what are the scriptures? Scriptures are the words of God. Scriptures are aparusheya, not man-made. God gave the scriptures himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagvat pranitam. So scriptures are word of God. If God has to tell, if I have to tell, who am I? Right? If I have to tell, somebody asked me question, who you are? Who can define that better? Can I tell about me myself better or somebody else can tell about me better? Can a lawyer tell about you better or you can tell about yourself better? So you can tell the best about yourself, right? Who you are, what are you liking, disliking, and how do you look like and all that. So same way, if God has to define how does the God look like, who can explain him better than God himself? So if we follow the scriptures clearly define, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which describe what is the form of God. Vedanti sattatva vidas tattvam jat gyatam advayam brahmeti pramatmeti bhagwaniti shabdate. So the seers of knowledge has concluded that God is realized in three different aspects simultaneously. God exists in three different aspects simultaneously. And what are those? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti, Shabdate. He is realized in three forms simultaneously. One is that Brahman, Brahmeti. So he is Brahman. He is the all-pervading effulgence, the light. Paramatmeti, he is the localized form as Paramatma sitting in everybody's heart. And Bhagwaniti, the highest understanding of God is his personal aspect, his personal form, Bhagwan. So he exists simultaneously in three forms. Brahman, the effulgence, the light, or as energy. And then Paramatman, the localized super soul. And then his personal form as Bhagwan. Now how do we understand that? So there is a Prabhupada give very particular example to understand this point. He say, like you see the sun in the sky. So when you see the sun, there is a sun ray and there is a sun surface, sun globe. And we cannot separate the sun rays from sun. So if you keep traveling on the sun rays, ultimately you will reach closer and closer to the surface of the sun globe. If you enter inside the sun planet, you will see there is a living entity there, the presiding deity of sun. So as the sun is realized in three different aspects, as a sun ray, the surface of the sun which is situated in the sky, and then inside the sun globe there is a presiding deity of sun. Sun God, his name is also defined, Bivaswan. So same way, God is understood in three different aspects. He is Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman is the effulgence coming out of the body of the Lord. Like everybody emits some hue, right? We all emit some aura. Our hue is very small, very minimal. Nobody can see this. And some self-realized people, like some great sadhus, he has done a lot of tapasya. So there is a circle of aura around them. People may be able to see that. So that is still very small. The effulgence coming out of God is so great that it fills the whole universes. So the light which is emanating from the body of the Lord, that is Brahman, the energy, the light. So he exists in his Brahman aspect. And then he resides as localized Paramatma feature in everybody's heart. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chanam Hridesha Nivishto. I'm situated in everybody's heart. Like the example is given, the two birds sitting on a branch of a tree. One bird is eating the fruits of the tree and other bird is just watching. So same way, the Supreme Lord is sitting with everybody, every living entity, just witnessing the activities in his Paramatma feature. So Brahman, Paramatma, and then Bhagwan. And he exists in his spiritual world, in his personal form. So he exists simultaneously in three forms. Now another example which is explained to understand that point. Once there was a village, and in that village there was first time train going to come. So there was no train passing through that village. So new railway minister came, put out railway tracks. Okay, now train is coming to your village also. So all the villagers are very excited. They want to see how the train looks like. And now they think, oh, if everybody goes to see the train, it's still like few miles away from the village. And if everybody goes to see the train, and who will work? So let's appoint few people, let's send them to see the train, and they can come back and explain to us how the train looks like. So nobody has seen the train in the village. So they appoint three people. You three of you go, see the train, and then come back and describe to us how the train looks like. So this one person, He's a little impatient. Before the train is coming, he gets very impatient, start running towards the railway track from where the train will be coming. So he keep running. And then from far away, he see a big circle of light. So when you see the train from very far away, what do you see? The big light in front of the engine. So this person saw a big light in front of the engine. He couldn't see anything else from that far. And he said, oh, train means a big light. And from there, he started running back to his village. Came back and told people, you know what the train is? Oh, it's like a big light. Nothing else. And the second person, he was little patient than the first one. He went, he waited on the platform where the train will come. He saw the train coming from far. He saw first saw the big circle of light coming. And then as the train got closer, he saw the first engine compartment. So he said, oh, train means a big circle of light and behind that there is a bogey, the engine. So he also came back, started running back, came back to the village. He said, train means a big circle of light and engine. And the third person was more patient. He waited on the platform. So the train came, saw the big light in front, then closer, saw the engine. Then train came further closer and closer. He saw different compartments, bogies behind. He climbed up into the one compartment. Saw there are people sitting inside the train. Oh, there's a fan, there are seats, there are lights, everything there. So then he came back and gave the complete picture of the train. Now out of all these three, who is wrong and who is right about the explanation of this train? Who is wrong and who is right? So in one sense, all are correct. So train, yes, it has a big light also in the front. Yes, it has an engine also. But the full explanation of train is, behind there, there are so many engines and people are sitting inside, everything is there. So that is a complete understanding. Same way, people exclaim, oh, God means just some energy. Oh, God means just some impersonal form, some Paramatma. And some people exclaim, yes, God is Bhagwan, Svayam Bhagwan in his Sakshat Svarup. So among them, who is right and who is wrong? So in one sense, all are correct. But it is just the level of understanding. Yes, God has his impersonal feature also, Brahman, his effulgence also. Yes, God is existing in his localized Paramatma feature also. But the complete understanding is, he exists in his Sakshat form in the spiritual world. And from him, effulgence comes out, which is Brahman. From him, the localized Paramatma feature expands. So that is the complete understanding of God. So now, after understanding that much, can we still define God systematically? What is the definition of God? Or what are the characteristics we can put to God? So if you have to give the definition, so the first quality, if somebody to be considered as God, he is the cause of all causes, who has no other cause behind him. So if somebody is the cause of everything and he has no other cause, that is God. Now we all have our cause. So I am sitting here, I have my father and mother. They had their own father and mother. They had their father and mother. So if we trace like that, ultimately something we have to reach somewhere, we reach God, and beyond that nobody is there. He is the cause of everything. So if tracing back our history, ultimately we may reach to the first human being, the first created being, which is Manu and Satrupa, which is briefly mentioned last time answering to one question. So if we trace back, we reach to Manu and Satrupa. And that's from where we got the name Manushya or Manav. Right? So that is the history how we trace back the human civilization. Now, so everybody has their cause. But God is one who has no other cause behind him. So that is God. But now in the science, again, the conflict comes. Science says, no, we don't have any source. Or we all came by chance. Earlier there were monkeys, and from monkeys slowly developed four-legged monkeys, slowly came to two-legged, then they became more civilized, then we sit in front of computers, and the right now is the most civilized human being. So that is the theory of evolution, that we evolve slowly and slowly. Now that theory is again as a bogus theory. Again, theory means it's somebody's speculation. First of all, there is no scientific proof in the lab. Can we prove by transferring a monkey into a human being in the lab, even over a period of years? And if one species evolved into another, why that species is still existing? If some monkeys jumped from the branches to benches, why some monkeys are still hanging on to the branches? So that is one. Creation are the, he is the cause of all causes. So God is one who is the cause of all causes, and he is the supreme controller. If he has created everything, he must be the controller of everything. Now if we create something, can we claim that I fully control that thing? We have so many gadgets, so many machinery. Do you think we have full control on those things? Can we control our own body? First of all, do you have full control on your own body? Can you order the nails? I don't want you to grow. Don't grow from tomorrow onwards. I don't want my hairs to grow so that I don't have to cut them every month. So we don't have even control on our own body. So people try to be the controller. Somebody may think, I am the controller of this country. The president of the country may think, I am the controller of this country. But do you think he is really the controller of everything? So we cannot control even a small, small thing. You cannot control your child. So God is something, somebody who is the supreme controller. Now, the next characteristic is God is somebody who is the supreme proprietor of everything. So if he has created something, he is the proprietor of that. Can we claim in the whole world anybody who can claim himself to be the proprietor of everything? Somebody can claim, oh, I am the proprietor of this universe. Forget the universe. I am the proprietor of this planet. Forget planet. I am the proprietor of this country. I am the proprietor of this state, this city. Or I am the proprietor of even my own home or my own car. We even don't own anything. When we leave this body, everything stays here. You cannot take anything with you. And we claim ourselves to be the proprietors. Somebody once asked, somebody wanted to see who is the most rich person who owns everything. So this was like a particular instance from India, I'm telling. So somebody, he went into different parts of the city and he was trying to understand who is the most rich person who owns most properties. And after examining, observing everything, he came back and he said, oh, I observed something. There is Mr. Tulet who owns most properties. So what is Tulet in India? When they put some property for rent, they put a board, Tulet. So he said, oh, I saw many boards with the name Tulet. There is somebody, Mr. Tulet, who owns many properties. He's the most rich person. So people, somebody may own a particular island or some big mansion, big bungalow, but nobody can claim he owns everything. So somebody who owns everything, he is the supreme proprietor, he is God. And if somebody controls everything, somebody is the owner of everything, he is the supreme enjoyer. All of us, can we consider ourselves to be enjoyer? We may be enjoyer to a certain extent. Can we consider ourselves to be the supreme enjoyer? Every day we are imposed with so many problems, troubles. And then we think, oh, I am the enjoyer. I own this property. This house is mine. I am the enjoyer. And then next day something goes wrong in the house. Where did the enjoyment go? Oh, I own this nice Ferrari or the Cadillac or the Mercedes. I am the enjoyer. And next day tire puncture. Where did the enjoyment go? So we think ourselves to be the enjoyer, but that is a temporary, minute enjoyment. So God, who owns everything, he is the supreme enjoyer. Like a hotel. If somebody owns a hotel, who is the enjoyer of all the benefits or the income of that hotel? The person who owns the hotel. So there is a cashier at the front desk. He may be collecting a lot of money every day. So people are coming and paying. So he is collecting a lot of money. At the end of the day, one big man in a nice big car comes in front of the hotel, comes to the receptionist, give me all the money. Not at the gunpoint. He says, okay, give me all the money. He takes all the collection and goes home. So this person on the reception, he is collecting, working hard all day, collecting all the money. But there is somebody who takes credit. He is enjoying everything. So how is that? Because he is the owner of that property. So same way, the person who owns everything, he is the supreme enjoyer. So God is the owner of everything. He is the proprietor of everything. He is the supreme enjoyer. Another characteristic is God is omnipresent. He is simultaneously existing at one place in his abode as well as he is existing everywhere. He is omnipresent. Now, can we be present at two different places at the same time? So I may be present here right now with the help of this current media or the current technology, the Facebook and the, we are doing live telecast or something. So I may be able to be seen from somewhere else. But physically I am present only at one place at a time. So we cannot be present at different places at the same time. But God is present everywhere at the same time. Now somebody is in trouble in India. Say, oh God, please save me. Somebody in US, oh God, please save me. Now if God is in India, how will he save a person in US? If God is in US, how will he save in India? So God, but God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. So these are the characteristic of God. If we really want to define God, somebody who meets this criteria, he is the creator of everything. He is the controller of everything. He is the enjoyer of everything. He is the proprietor of everything. And he is present everywhere. If somebody meets that criteria, that can be considered God with capital G. If somebody does not meet that criteria and he's somebody and still claims to be God, he is not God, but he is dog. Just reverse. Same alphabets in a reverse order. So, now are we clear about the definition of God, or you want some more further clear definition of God? So another very clear definition of God, which is defined in scriptures, in Vishnu Puran, there is a very clear definition of God given by Prashar Muni. Prashar Muni is the father of Vyasadeva. So Prashar Muni gives a very clear definition of God. Who is God? Aishwarasya samagrasya viryasya yashasah shriya jnana vairagya seva shannam bhagan itangana. So somebody to be considered God, he must have these six opulences in full. And what are these opulences? Aishwarya. He is full in opulence. Viryasya. He is the most powerful. Yasasya. He is the most famous. Shriya. He is the most beautiful. Gyan. He is the most knowledgeable. Vairagya. After having all these opulences, he is still the most renounced. If somebody has these six qualities in full, not partial, Shannam Bhagan Itangana, who possesses these six qualities, six opulences in full, 100%, he can be considered God. Now if we examine all these six qualities, opulence, somebody may have some opulences. But can somebody possess the opulence, all the opulences forever? We may have some opulences for some time. But can somebody have the opulences, all the opulences all the time? Can somebody claim that? Opulences mean riches, wealth. So Aishwarya means wealth. We are talking about wealth here, riches. So can somebody claim he owns everything? Again, we discussed this point already, right? So Viryasya, full in strength. Can somebody claim, I am the strongest of all? Somebody may be very strong for some time, but as the body grows, the strength is gone away. Even in the modern history, if somebody claimed to be the most strongest, the time has shown them the real face. Right? Once there was a boxer, the famous boxer, who is that?
Cassius Clay.
Muhammad Ali. So Muhammad Ali, he claimed at one point of time, I am the greatest. And then later on he developed a disease, Alzheimer's disease. And then he came to his senses. So somebody may be strong for some time. First of all, he cannot have the full strength, and not forever. Then Yashasah, fame. Somebody may be famous for some time. We know all these, lot of scientists, lot of film stars, Bollywood stars, Hollywood stars, celebrities, politicians. There are a lot of people who are famous. Sports people. Sometimes they are considered as Bhagwan. Like Sachin Tendulkar. He was considered as cricket ka Bhagwan. And after a few years, same people will claim, now please retire, give chance to somebody else. Let the new young generation come into picture. So somebody may be famous for some time, but he cannot stay famous forever. And famous also, first of all, famous in a set of people. Not everybody will know him still, right? So fame, nobody can claim fame all across for all the time. Then Shriya, beauty. Nobody can claim to be the most beautiful and still that beauty cannot stay forever. There are many Bollywood star or Hollywood star, Hema Malini or Aishwarya Rai or something. And at one point of time, Madhubala or something, people may have so much of admiration for these celebrities. But now, a lot of people may not even know about them. Where they are gone in the dark of the history. So the beauty, nobody can claim to be most beautiful, and nobody, that beauty, even if somebody is somewhat beautiful, that doesn't stay forever. Our beauty dwindles. There was a model and she was very beautiful and she has so many admirers, so many fans. And as she grew old, as she saw the first wrinkle on her face, she could not come out of the house. If people see my dwindling face now, this dwindling beauty, where will my fan, what will the my fans will think? So the beauty doesn't stay forever in this material world. And then Gyan, knowledge. Can somebody claim to be the most knowledgeable person? Out of ignorance, somebody may. But we know he is not the most knowledgeable. There are so many Babas and all that. And they think, oh, I am Bhagwan. They start claiming. As soon as they get little followers, they show little magic trick, this and that here, some... they get some siddhi out of some tapasya, show some little magic, and they started claiming themselves to be God. And they will tell somebody, oh, I know about everything about you. You are like this, like that. And they claim themselves to be the most knowledgeable. So, Gyan. Somebody has to be who can claim to be most knowledgeable. And then Vairagya. After having all these great opulences, still completely renounced. Now if you, somebody get little wealth, little power, little fame, what is the situation of that person? He starts flying in the air. Feet doesn't stay on the ground. So the person, he cannot stay humble or he cannot stay grounded. So the person, after having all these things, who can still be most renounced, that is considered God. So now this is the definition of God. Now based on all these criteria we have discussed, now we will move to the next point. Okay, I understand all this. I understand, yes, God does exist based on the principles we discussed. I agree that, okay, these are the characteristics of God. The definition of God, if somebody meet this criteria, that has to be God. Now, who is God? Who does meet all these criteria? Are there one God or many God? There are so many religions now in this world. Is this one God or there are different gods in all these different religions? So one God or many God? Who is God? So we are going to discuss this point very systematically in the next topic. And when we, so everybody may have different pictures of God in their mind. But now based on these criteria, we are going to discuss who fits into all that criteria. Who is God with the capital G? So that everybody is on the same page. For example, once one person, he was sitting in a meditation pose. So there was a cartoon. So there was a cartoon in the paper showing one person sitting in a meditation pose. And he is saying, "Hey Ma, Hey Ma." And there is a bubble shown from his head. And in that bubble, there is a picture of Goddess Durga. So he is chanting, "Hey Ma, Hey Ma." So that is the image in his mind he is referring to as Ma, the Shakti or God. And next to him, the young boy, his young son is sitting. He is also doing meditation, sitting in a meditation pose. He is also saying, "Hey Ma, Hey Ma, Hey Ma." And there is a bubble shown from his head. And in the bubble, there is a picture of a beautiful woman, Hema Malini, the heartthrob of the late 70s and 80s. So, same two people are chanting the same name, Hema, Hema. One person has a different conception about Ma, Durga Devi. And the other person, he's chanting Hema, he has a different picture. So, same way, when we say God, when we say Bhagwan, immediately some picture may come out in our mind. Whom we think, okay, I think he is God, or he is God, or she is God. So everybody, based on our previous understanding, what we have heard, what we have read, what we have understood, everybody may have a different conception. But now we are going to put a clear face, clear about all that fog in front of the picture of God and make a clear picture who is God, who fits into all these criteria. And if after all that discussion, if somebody still thinks, "No, I think he or she is God," then you have to bring the proof. Right? Then you have to prove based on the references, scriptural evidences, then you have to prove. Because we are going to systematically discuss with the evidences from the scriptures. And again, we will discuss one more point. As you said, one God or many God. Is it a monotheism or a polytheism? So sometimes in Hinduism, they say Hinduism is polytheism. And all other religions of the world are considered as monotheism. So what is the real understanding? So we'll discuss that in the next session. So stay tuned if anybody has any question or comment for now.
This Puran you are talking about is...
This is from Vishnu Puran.
Did Parashar wrote that complete thing or just a
part? Parashar Muni gave some part of that. He gave this particular definition of God. So the knowledge, as you said, was existing in the oral form. Vyasdev put it into writing form.
And the
who wrote the Purana? Vedavyas wrote the Purana under the instructions of Narad Muni. No, under the... So he wrote all the Puranas and still he was not feeling satisfied. And then he... Under the instructions of Narad Muni, he wrote the final ultimate Purana, the spotless Purana called Srimad Bhagavat Purana. So Vyasadeva is disciple of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is disciple of Brahma. And Brahma is disciple of Vishnu. So like that, the knowledge comes down in a disciplic succession. So we'll discuss more in detail a little bit about these topics in the coming sessions. So far about the existence of God, if somebody has any other opinion or any question or comment, please feel free to ask or comment.
Anything, I just wanted to say, you said Big Bang Theory. That has also assumption. What they are saying is Big Bang Theory is good up to 10 to the minus 48 second of the creation. But beyond that, we don't know.
Right, so the theory, first of all, when we say theory is assumption, right? Somebody thought, oh, it happened like that. Now, can we prove that? So, science, science means observance, and then?
So, beyond that, they don't know. So, 10 to the
right.
minus 48, is, that's where
So, when the whole creation happened also, so it happened, like as a, that can also be considered as, all as a big sudden, right? Even as the Bible also says, God said, let there be creation, and there was creation. And same way, when we say, from the body of Mahavishnu, all from the pores of his body, all these bubbles came out. So the time period, if we consider the time, how this everything happened, we cannot even perceive the time, how quickly or how something this happens.
So they are up to the bubble, but they haven't reached the Vishnu, that's what I'm
saying. Right. So they have reached up to the bubble, oh, it all came from all of a sudden. From where it came, who is the source of that, they cannot reach with our the scientific theories. So is for the existence of life also, we say, oh, life exists, life came from chemicals. So in the past, life came, emerged from chemicals. And in the future, we will be able to prove this in our laboratories. But if life existed in past from chemicals, why we cannot prove it right now? Why you have to show in the future? So it's like giving somebody a post-dated check. If I owe you $1 million, and I tell you, I don't have right now, but I give you a post-dated check for after 100 years. Will you accept that? So, what science gives is as a post-dated check. They just put it on to the future. In the future, we should be able to prove that. In the future, we should be able to create life from chemicals. Right? So, but all that is, just as Prabhupada says, this is all stupidity, nonsense. Life cannot come from chemicals, life comes from life. So a father and mother unite, that's how the life comes. It's not that the chemicals unite and a baby can come out. And the, some people could get arguments, oh, now the science, medical field, we are able to create test tube babies. But in the test tube babies also, so nature already has a natural test tube, that is the womb of the mother, where the sperm and the ovum mix naturally and the baby grows. So what science has done is just create an artificial environment, but the seed remains still from the living entity. Seed still come from the life, right? Still, seed does not come from the chemicals. So we may be able to create an artificial environment, but we still need the seed from the nature, which is already existing. So once there was a atheist, she said, I don't believe in the existence of God. All this is all bogus theory. So, he wanted to create his house. So, he collected the wood. So God said, wait. Create your own wood first. He said, okay, I will not use wood. He got the sand to make the bricks. So, God again said, go first, create your own sand. Then water. Oh, I want to use the water. Okay, first go create your own water. So, we want to utilize the things which are already existing in nature, but who has given that in the nature? Can we create our own wood? Can we create our own sand? Can we create our own water? Even though you may say, oh, water is H2O. Hydrogen and oxygen. Okay, go bring your own hydrogen and oxygen. So who gave hydrogen and oxygen and who mixed it in proper ratio? So like that, there are so many arguments. We went very briefly about all these discussions in a very brief way. So based on the principles of creation implies the creator, law implies the lawmaker, we can see in the nature that everything is working very systematically, everything has come up. So there has to be a creator behind it, there has to be a lawmaker, and there has to be a maintainer of that, who is the owner of everything. So, and that is God. And who is that? That we will understand in the next session. Okay, thank you very much. We'll stop here. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll sing Narsimha prayer.